Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamlet and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of Mendel. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we're not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamlet and Sidgwick to review last night's Raw, the final Raw before WrestleMania.
Just call WWE Raquel Rodriguez's best feature because the power is back. I love this again. Like, I had a chat with Murray before we came in this morning. I have a feeling it was a primer for a chat with you, Sitch. I'm finding it increasingly difficult to articulate why I goddamn love the Fed, right? WWE. And I've noticed that there are conversations online with certain people who like don't really see why the show is hot, because especially if you tune into one specific tag match on this card, it'll be like, there's 12,000 people in there. Are you sure there's even 12? I get it. I get every single one of those criticisms, but I do feel like obviously business is objectively hot, but that only means so much. For your enjoyment, at least. I feel like the gap is starting to widen between people that enjoy WWE and people that just know that it will never truly be for them again. And there's nothing wrong in either side. I think lately, the sell job for WrestleMania has been so effective. The balance between matches, promos, angles, etc. has been just right for me. I feel like this was a conscious effort to heat up the matches. They have profoundly failed on the road to WrestleMania, and there's no time like the go-home to try and get it right. You know, I'm not saying it makes up for weeks of bad build, but I just thought everything was so well attended to here. Really well attended
garden.
To. I think it is. I think a bunch of beautiful black flowers are blossoming in that garden. The garden of pro wrestling.
Purple flowers, right, surely.
Purple flowers. Flowers that I want to throw at Triple H for continuing to book this great show. I had a tremendous time with this. Yet again.
I was bored.
3 hours full of stuff. Like we joked yesterday. Well, all right, there's your one Cody match. What else you got? Like, where's the other 2 hour, 50 minutes?
We've been through this before, been singing this song and dancing this dance. I do not like ready salted crisps.
Yeah.
Just don't. I thought this Raw was good, but not quite as good as I thought it was going to be in certain places. Actively bad. And God damn it, but probably going to disagree. I thought there was a cowardly streak during this. And intelligent, insulting streak throughout this show with two WrestleMania matches and the way in which they were built in particular. I was honestly close to telling my phone to go fuck itself when I watched it.
I watched it on your phone. I thought like sort of somebody was in your DMs. Hey, Sidgwick, Raw's awesome.
You know when I was watching it?
Yeah,
I was just like, piss off with this. Like, piss off with this.
Really enjoyed the show.
Of course you did.
Pumped for WrestleMania.
I'm not going to try and drag you down too much.
It's all over the place because our colleague Scott Carson, his ups and downs are on the website now. I had a look at that this morning. He went 5-5. It was right down the middle.
And I like 13-2, spoiler alert.
I came in high as
that for Heroes of Wrestling, to be fair.
High as a kite for it. As I say, me and Murray disagreed on the main event to start the day. And, like, I wasn't sure. Me and Sidgwick haven't discussed over the desks yet, which in itself is sometimes, you know, a sort of discussion of how much the show's generated interest or whatever, but it feels like comments on this one are all over the place. Like, again, which I just think is, I feel like WWE is really tailoring itself to the people who like WWE and is kind of, like, pieing off those that don't. I've sensed that over this build specifically.
Mm. Well, let's dive into it and we'll go through the show and see what we think about each bit. Started with Miz TV with the legends, of course, Lita and Trish, flanked by Becky Lynch. Miz brought them all out. Got a great reaction, of course, and Miz obviously starts off by negging Becky Lynch, saying that how's it feel to need help against damaged Katara despite always wanting to work alone? You're meant to be the man, aren't you? She's like, yeah, I am the man, and you're just a man.
An insecure man with tiny balls.
And he got that sort of reaction, basically. Miz said actually...
Somewhere, one rat pissing on one bit of cotton in the corner of the building going, tiny balls.
Miz said, actually, I've got massive was, and Maryse has verified this. And Lynch said, oh, it must be nice to know that Maryse didn't get around much before meeting you.
What if she did?
Yeah, what does it matter? That annoyed me to start off the show, I'll give you that, yeah.
Where does this line fit in the old slut-shaming thing? Because the joke was, she's not seen that many balls. That's the point of this gag, because if she had, she'd have seen
good
the yours.
That she hasn't.
That I was going to say that's where they were skewing.
It's good that she hasn't.
Why go near any of this? Why?
Yeah, it was basically the subtext of what she was saying is, it's nice to know that your missus wasn't a whore because whores are bad. Yeah. It's like, why are you saying that for?
Can have as many consent and sexual partners as you like.
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah. Of course you can.
Yeah.
Just ask the NXT roster. They're all at it.
That shows
well, not all of them. One of them's
desperately trying to get at it.
And we all want that for him.
Yeah. We hope he's going to stand and deliver his ejaculate.
The consenting orifice.
Fallon Henley.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, well, yeah.
Who knows?
Which would obviously come from...
These nuts.
Been a while, hasn't it?
That's what I call a sticky situation.
Anyway, Miz turns his attention to Lita and Trish and says, oh, how's it feel to be back?
Baby batter.
I hate that one.
That's horrible, isn't it?
To just be back to play backup to Becky Lynch. And Lita's like, I'm one half of the women's tag team champions. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, I'd forgotten that as well, to be perfectly honest, Lita, sorry. Of course, this brings out Damage Katarl. Bayley's pissed. It's just a match to you, this WrestleMania 6 woman. But this means everything to Damage Katarl. Lita and Trish, you were last relevant 20 years ago. And again, Stratus is like, Lita's one off the tag team champions. And Bayley's like, well, this would have been a dream match 20 years ago, but now my dream is to end you. Lynch cuts her off and goes on about how she'd wasted two of the best NXT talents in Dakota Kai and Io Sky. Now they're doing nothing. They're going to kick her ass when they lose, probably on Saturday or Sunday. Becky talked about how she thought it was going to end at War Games, at Hell in a Cell, when she won the titles, but it didn't. So it's all going to end at WrestleMania, and they get into a big argument before the match between Becky and Io.
Pet hate stuff, this. Especially because...
Power's back. Power's back?
Power's absolutely 100% back.
Power's back.
But it's like...
winding up.
Because I thought the delivery was... pretty good from Bayley and Becky Lynch of material that is one of my least favourite things in wrestling, which is when you send the talent out there to talk about bad booking as if they are real. Like, characters should absolutely believe that the fiction they're in is real. That's like, wrestling can't work without that. But what the points they were like labouring on were, God, this stable's old hat. This stable's absolutely useless. This match doesn't feel like a big deal. And by like trying to deliver impassioned promos, they were trying to inject this poor feud with some passion. That I can't fault from the performers, but that's a bit like saying, yeah, the match will be all right on the night. It doesn't matter that the booking's rubbish. They tried to do that with a promo here, but it was yet again Becky Lynch listing a series of flaws in the way that Triple H has booked this division and this stable, and then making it seem like it was Bayley the character's fault. It's Kurt Angle saying to Alexa Bliss, you know, tanked Raw with This Is Your Life last week. Because I wrote it. Like, it's never good when they do that. It's a really awful habit. But maybe it set up the kind of the idea of the booking we suggested yesterday, or the finish, or the end of Damage Katarl. This has to be the end of Damage. I know we said this like four times now. They have shown you the end of Damage Katarl, haven't they? The two women stood behind Bayley going, oh yeah. And then when they lose again, there's the evidence that backs up what Becky Lynch has basically said. The heels have been told that this is a flawed concept. It's finished, isn't it? I mean, it's been finished for ages, but it's finished on screen on Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know if this was meant to be cathartic. Oh, I do that. The idea of, oh, I think that. Well, I do think that, but I've also endured the last 6 months of Bailey's character arc and have just been absolutely bored, like perplexed, almost annoyed by what a waste of talent it is. So the idea that Becky Lynch shouting loudly about the last 6 months of my life being pretty boring when I had to watch this does not erase the last 6 months of my life. And them basically putting the characters under the bus for what the writers have done. And it's the writers who've done this. Like, kiss my ass. This is insulting. This is cowardly, this. Stand by your storyline. You've told it for 6 months. Stand by your characters. Do something better that isn't... I don't know, this is just crap. This is absolutely crap.
I love Becky Lynch and buy her as a star still. But there's one of the things she's not that great at is like faking her fire and her passion. You can tell when she's not really that invested in it and she's not really felt that way through most of this. She knows that there's probably something else she should be doing on this card. And this promo, the anger and the fire she was trying to summon, I think probably came from the bit of her that says, why am I stuck doing this? Rather than any kind of like storyline anger with the characters.
So we come back and the match is in progress. Becky Lynch and Io Sky. It's annoying, actually, because two of the best bits in this match actually happened during a break. I think it was halfway through this match rather than before we saw it. Sky hit a great springboard dropkick and Lynch hit with a superplex. Anyway, Sky comes back with consecutive German suplexes after the break to get a near fall. Lynch hits an exploder, but Sky drop kicks her off the top rope and hits a springboard moonsault for two. But when they get back in the ring, yeah, that was on the outside. When they get back in the ring, Lynch dodges the big moonsault from Io Sky. Manhandle slam, 1, 2, 3.
I kind of buzzed off this. Because it was nice to see, like the work was good, and I think both Becky Lynch and Io Sky, truthfully, have been in need of a match of a certain quality that's not really been there, but it was nice to see them having that match in front of a crowd that actually liked this. WWE could learn a thing or two from, like, this was a pretty hot crowd for almost all of this show, but they could learn a thing or two from another podcast we talked about the benefit of giving the opening match slot to women that desperately need it when they've been let down by the booking. Charlotte and Rhea aren't going to get it. The six-woman tag isn't going to get it. We don't know where Asuka and Bianca sits. That should be the night two opener. And I think this was good evidence of that. If you want to have this, the match will be all right. You know, if the crowd look after it and if the wrestlers do their best, that's the slot for it.
Again, does not excuse 6 months of just dire, flat, drab, just existing action or talking or whatever. But this at least made me realise that it will be all right on the night. I hate that whole philosophy. Mm. Yeah. Episodic TV is meant to grip you for the duration. And I hate the idea of, oh, the storyline sucked or was completely boring as hell, but the match will be good. I didn't even have vibes of, oh, the match will be good. If, in fact, it all pivots around exchanges between Io Sky and Becky Lynch building to the hot tag, there is the core of a good match here at WrestleMania, and we saw a glimpse of it tonight. I thought Io Shirai in particular looked very, very sharp.
Yeah.
Very up for it.
We see the Usos, Paul Heyman, and Solo Sikoa walking through the back. And then there was this awesome video package for Asuka. I don't know where this has been. I mean, they've just given up entirely on the story they've been telling for the last few weeks of them being able to coexist. And they boiled it down to some mind games. Because you had the likes of Corey Graves, Zelina Vega, Kevin Owens, Lita, Molly Holly, Charlotte Flair, and MVP putting over Asuka's incredible history. Well, cherry-picking Asuka's incredible history within WWE.
That's what they did.
Undefeated streak, etc., etc. All the people she's defeated, her dominance in NXT. And as I said, concluding with the mind game she's playing with Bianca Belair. This really got me hyped for a match that I, you know, as we've said on multiple occasions, match is going to be great because it's Bianca Belair versus Asuka. Hopefully the crowd will get into it because the storyline into it has been dreadful. But this sold me on it, but it was a bit disingenuous, I sense, you're about to say.
This really, really sold me on an Asuka match if it was happening at WrestleMania 33. Wasn't Asuka fantastic in 2015, 16, and 17? Yes, she was. It's 2023. Her star aura has evaporated. She doesn't feel like she used to. I thought this was an insult to my intelligence, them basically saying, yeah, the build has sucked. Well, I had to watch it. So piss off, first and foremost. And the idea of, they had to say, oh, she was so great in NXT. On the main roster as well, no. In flashes, but everyone's good in flashes because this roster is kind of world class on its day. The idea that they were trying to insult my intelligence by cherry picking is the phrase he used very well, very apt. I just got infuriated. And it's like, why can't you do it now? Why can't you show me? Why can't you show me how good she is now rather than tell me how good she was 6 years ago? It's the opposite for me of effective promotion. I felt insulted watching this.
It reminds me a little bit, and I've spoken about this before, when I chat to mates of mine who've gone out of the loop of wrestling or whatever, and, you know, I would never compare myself to the two of you wrestling encyclopedias that you are, but I still have somewhat just sort of vicarious knowledge that I get off you. So when they go like, oh, man, I'll never forget when Stone Cold fought The Rock at WrestleMania 20. And I go like, well, he didn't fight WrestleMania 20. But so like I'm watching that. And if I'm an idiot, I'm like, oh, wow. Raw wins champion. SmackDown wins champion. NXT wins champion. Money in the Bank winner. Royal Rumble winner. But fortunately,
they're all Royal Rumble winners and Money in the Bank winners.
But especially because
they're all like, mid-card champions.
When they were like the first ever women's Royal Rumble winner, and the voice in the back of my head goes, she lost.
Yeah, she lost at WrestleMania.
And then like 900-day streak of being undefeated, which she lost to Charlotte Flair inexplicably at WrestleMania.
5 years ago.
Triple H can't book. Gap. Women anymore. Like, this was evidence of the fact that he used to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And he was almost wanting to flex about that on a show and in a first half an hour where he was trying to fake it till he made it. Like, let's put the women are opening Raw. Like, they're the focus of the big first match and the big show opening promo. And then we're going straight in to a video package. Like, it's women, women, women. They're just as important as the men, actually. Like, they're not and don't lie to me. To Cedric's point, don't lie to me because I've watched this. I've watched you fail these characters over and over and over again. This was, and like, to the point where you can't even book women sequentially correctly because this is an absolutely tremendous post-Elimination Chamber device. Asuka wins the Elimination Chamber. They said, well, it's Asuka versus Bianca Belair. That was how we got here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's Asuka versus Bianca Belair for a belt at WrestleMania, and tonight we're going to take a look at Champion and Challenger in special videos, and then that's like your week one.
Yeah, because Bianca one was great as well.
Yeah, and then Bianca the following week says, I saw that video, and like I hope she saw mine. Because as far as I'm concerned, that streak is in the past and we're level pegging and I think I've surpassed you. And then you're on your way and instead it's dribbling goo. And now we land at
belts.
Yeah, now we land at the video package and it's just, it's ass about tick because he's not done a good job and he's trying to. And this is what I was saying on the start of this podcast, right? As a standalone...
At the start of this podcast, you said the power's back. The
power's back and here's why. As a standalone episode of Raw, right? I think this was probably the best WrestleMania go-home in... forever. Like,
wow.
Vince stopped booking them. We used to say go home for preview copy, but he just stopped booking them, right? This paid attention to almost all the key players, and the ones that didn't will probably be on SmackDown, and it virtually covered all of them. And I thought it was absolutely tremendous. And they know, because the power's back, the business is kind of booming, and people might just be tuning in. It's WrestleMania week. This was even called WrestleMania Raw. And to your point about your mates that, like, all right, I'll have a 3-hour primer, it'll get me ready for WrestleMania. It's like, wow, I wish I'd been watching since the Rumble. You wish you'd been watching some of it since the Rumble, but not all of it.
None of it in this instance.
Mega effective promotion of this match on one night that asks you to use the Men in Black memory eraser for the bulk of the story.
I can't deal with that.
You know, there's a good and bad version of everything, as Sidgwick says. This is my good and bad version of the good and bad version of everything. we've good and bad-ceptioned it because I would rather Triple H do this on the go-home Raw than not do it at all.
Yeah.
I don't want him to come out and be like, hold my hands up, I've knackered this, so you're getting out at all. I'd rather feel hyped at the last if they can get me there.
Let Asuka cut a promo in Japanese.
Yeah, I'm not against that either. Like, I thought this was super effective and a lie.
Mm.
Total lie. It was too much of a lie for me. It was... 6 years ago, all of these highlights were broadcast. There wasn't even that many from the last 2, 3, 4. That's ridiculous. You know what the equivalent of this is, right? I understand wrestling's got to fake it more. So I understand it's not a complete one comparison, right? Say that there's a Super Sunday, right? And they've already kind of exhausted. You can't have every single Premier League team play every single televised fixture on Sky Sports. It's not fair, right? So what they do is, right, okay, I have to sex it up a little bit because I want people to watch. So say in October next season, it's Fulham versus Notts Forest, who who've just survived, skin of their teeth, right?
Mm.
And they have another mental summer transfer window, right? And they get a bit desperate and they think, you know what? We'll take a punt on Dele Alli. He's still only, what, 27 or something? He's still in his 20s.
What a weird finished footballer.
Well.
Pally Pally is.
Well. What if they go, right, okay. It's careers have been brought back from the dead before. That Goethe for, wasn't he in the
Mario
Germany
Goethe,
squad?
Yeah.
Goethe, yeah. He was in the in the Germany squad for the World Cup. So it's not unheard of. Mm-hmm. So their recruitment says, right, okay. There's not much interest in him. He's not going to be that expensive anymore. Why wouldn't we take a punt if he can be as good as he once was, right? The equivalent here is Sky Sports putting a 5-minute video package of his best Tottenham Hotspur highlights
yeah.
and saying, God damn it, not Forest are going to win. They've got Dele Alli. Not how this works.
Yeah.
This should be the real world. It's a fake world, but it has to be real. It has to be credible. And this is just absolute nonsense to me. I thought it was cowardice.
I felt a little bit, when you were saying that, it reminded me a bit when I used to tune in just to watch takeovers.
Yeah.
I'd be like, God, should I be watching the TV?
Nah.
Well, again, like I suppose here, so we had a Bianca Belair video later on. Mm-hmm. And we can cover these together, can't we? Because well. That's the last build. Even if, I'm not suggesting this would have like solved some of Sidgwick's problems with it, but even if Bianca Belair, rather than it just being a video, had cut a promo afterwards and saying, I just watched a video and it was 5 years ago. I'm the EST right now. Like, you're the Empress. You're not the Empress of tomorrow, the Empress of yesterday.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. but here's a video package that illustrates that point.
It's time to play the game! Time to play the game!
Tamina had a more famous WrestleMania match than Asuka.
Correct.
So, what does that say about Asuka? Game. You just said, as a joke, yeah. A riff on WWE's dialogue. The Empress of Yesterday. What pun wordplay thing did Alexa Bliss say about Asuka once upon a time? In about 2018, in fact. The Empress of what?
Never.
God. The Empress of nothing. Was it?
Ding, 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 ding.
Wait there. Wait.
Left. Oh, yeah.
Bingo!
The Empress of that. Empress of nothing.
God, what? My brain's used up with thinking about that.
It's not even like a time period. No. They got it wrong.
You got it right, but he got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kathy Kelly interviews Seth Rollins. They recap the whole Logan Paul thing, and he's a bit pissed off being asked about getting sucker punched and KO'd for the second time. And then in comes Mustafa Ali, who says that Rollins should think more positive. Ali.
Oh, this is your bread and butter. I'm
guess what,
loser.
Guys? Ali's back.
Power's back.
Power is back. And Rollins.
He's gear. He's half and half.
Yeah.
It's class.
He said, make a t-shirt out of that. And he said, I remember you trying to get a match with me for ages. Why don't we do it tonight? And Ali's like, no, you're good. Thanks, mate. I'm crap. And he's like, no. I'll see you out. See you out there.
Was there a bit of side eye from Rollins looking at him and saying, that's my gimmick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sort of noticed that.
I thought that was like a bit of a cute detail here. Like, positive Ali is like, he's not going to spend week after week nicking people's gimmicks. But he's like, how do I get this guy's attention enough to get this match and like spin it as like a character thing? And it's like, what's the best you I can be and knock together from, I don't know, like a Target down the road or something? And he came in with that.
I'm going to bring DDP back in and have him team with Ali. That's what they're going to do.
Oh my God.
Why?
That's not a bad thing, Will Bond. That's a good thing.
Positive. Yeah. He's Cody's mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we got Mustafa Ali versus Seth Rollins.
Sorry, we are at a point now where, like, a goddamn theme is so over that he can lead the crowd in, like, a long sing, clearly going longer than they intended to. Like, they're getting the beauty shot of the crowd and everything. And we're never going to put Rap Means' new version on. It's going to remain that one forever.
Did you see the tweet yesterday, by the way? I used the... Hang on, I'll play it again. He probably gets in trouble, but still. Hey, I just met you. And Matt Rain's got a tweet from someone saying, man, he's clipped that off. He was like, I made it. So, yeah.
Not to bury the guy, though. He's a good guy.
Nah.
Brennan.
Yes, of course. Yeah, Brennan, yeah.
Love Brennan.
So, yeah, Ollie got his ass kicked. He, like, maybe got one forearm shot in before Rollins knocked him over into the corner, stomped his face, trapped him, sort of hung him upside down off the turnbuckle, did a big stomp off that, and then just to finish him off, did a huge stomp that Ollie sold brilliantly to get the quick victory. Rollins, after the match, says, I'm going to get my hands on Logan Paul on night one of WrestleMania. Paul's got a history of making a joke out of himself, but if I can't beat Logan Paul at WrestleMania, he's not the joke, I am. And then said, it's Paul's birthday on April 1st, but they're not going to be singing that song, they're going to be singing mine. I'm not going to do it again.
Loved this, all of it. This was, loved it. This was, I would compare this to one of them great Dynamite, obvious winner, obvious loser matches. Didn't, it was obvious how it was going to go. Mm-hmm. I just wanted a quick snapshot of the winner. Like, the loser was entertaining to me because he's been given freak show booking and I'm into it. And I thought the promo was tremendous. Like, Seth Rollins.
Tremendous.
I really like this angle. I've been saying it for a while. I think Seth Rollins, I had no idea that this gimmick could suddenly be such an effective gatekeeper. And maybe it's because Logan Paul's such an effective heel in contrast. Maybe that character that person that Logan Paul is, that awful creature that he is the perfect contrast that many baby faces could be a gatekeeper. But the fact that Rollins in this specific version of himself is so believable to me. Like, there's a bit of him that's like, look at me. I look preposterous. This is who you've got to be to survive in this world. How dare you come in with your drink and think you can have it? You can't. It's mine. And the happy birthday into the music. And again, the moment. They made a little capital M moment of the people going nuts. I cannot wait for the WrestleMania crowd to go. And, like, they've shown me a visual that I want a bigger, blown-up SoFi Stadium version of, which is what WrestleMania is always supposed to be. And I'm going to get it. It's like, we're not going to get Finn Balor, arms up this year. We might get a version instead. But they've given, hey, have a look at this one. Yeah. Have a look at the Seth Rollins ones instead. Again, like, I thought this was mega effective go-home show stuff, and I'm more into the match than I was. Loved it.
We're very different people.
Yeah.
I thought this was just generic. We don't have Paul here. What do we do? What do people like about Seth? Well, looking at some of his strikes in that match with Ali, not his ring work. Even though they do like his ring work, I thought...
The trio world stomp was good.
I looked terrible.
You're not like that. I think he's going to do it to Logan Paul on Sunday. Oh, Saturday.
Hopefully he can, like, make it look snug. It was fine. I like the song. Maybe a cute thought of his birthday. I had to have him get the song in. And people like the song. I'm the miserable guy on the island. I accept that. But, yeah, it was fine.
It's weird because it is the song more than the guy. I acknowledge it's the song more than the guy. But it can't just be any guy. Like, he's not completely removed from it.
You can't
put the song on, like, not to criticise this guy specifically, but you can't put the song on Johnny Gargano right now. And just be like,
don't put anything on Johnny Gargano.
and make him suddenly as over as Seth Rollins is. It is a bit of, but the song is definitely the thing, but it has to be Seth with it, I think, as well.
And I wouldn't worry too much because Grayson Waller's going to lead him to a great match on Saturday. So you'll be all right, Johnny. Baron Corbin is complaining to Postman Pierce about not having a match at WrestleMania despite doing all the signings and appearances for it. And he's like, this bloody guy. And then he turns around and Chelsea Green's there asking to speak to the manager. She wants in the big tag team showcase match, of course, despite the fact that she hasn't got a partner. No Carmella. I think Piper Niven's like, I've had enough of her. I had 1 week and that's more than enough. But then Sonya Deville shows up and he says, all right, you can have a qualifying match tonight against two losers.
There's Piper Niven not in it.
But yeah, there's a bit, this is weird, right? We know if there's nothing else in WWE at this time of year is that it's a rat race to get to WrestleMania. Piper Niven should probably put those personal issues aside and realise that this was like a fast track to get on the card, logically. I hope Carmella's all right.
Just off to the side.
Baron Corbin has never been more in the right as the backstage complainer than he was here because his Boogs match was just dropped cold, wasn't it? We previewed that yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So his complaint was, you have taken me off the card for this WrestleMania.
So it works in weird stuff.
This WrestleMania qualifier, I've lost my spot. Things can't get any worse for me, and now you're making it even worse. I continue to like all the drizzle down on top of Baron Corbin. I think My esteemed colleague here does a great article every year that I look forward to about the weird... I don't know you're doing it this year because it's a Vince quirk, but the post-WrestleMania push.
Maybe, I haven't decided yet.
I think Corbin's a real candidate for it because, like, look how much slid downwards onto, like, Positive Ali, and I've just called him Positive Ali. It's a thing now. Like, Corbin's got something, I think, with this. I don't think he's... I was very worried for him as one of, like, the April chopping block guys, and I'm not. I think he rebounds off this. Not everybody does, but I think he does all right.
I like Corbin. He's got something about him. At least even when he just goes, seriously?
Yeah,
like, he just watches someone basically get at least a 50-50 chance of getting to WrestleMania. And Pierce is just like, got an out for you, mate. Sorry.
I don't know if he's got it in him, but he's on the verge of, you know, like when Kevin Owens was realizing how to game the system and he was like, it's absolutely stupid here. If you try and play within the rules, you're on a hiding to nowhere. Corbin's face is starting to look that of a man that is starting to realize that, like, what's the point in playing within this redundant system?
Power's back, though.
The power is absolutely back.
Stop selling it. Stop no selling it.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, speaking of power...
Oh, my God.
It was time for the Brock Lesnar and Omos weigh-in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Omos, yeah. And Omos and MVP come out. MVP talks about Brock Lesnar's huge WrestleMania wins, Kurt Angle, Goldberg, Roman Reigns, and, of course, ending The Undertaker's streak. He says, but unlike all those men... Lesnar, you are not going to be able to F5 or suplex Omos. You can't beat him at WrestleMania because get on the scales, Omos. And they had someone who knew how to work him because they did it in less than 10 minutes to work out. He's 410 pounds.
Amazing. What's wrestling's obsession with old scales? Like, who has these scales other than wrestlers
it's
anymore?
It's visual, like, isn't it?
I suppose. Like,
you can't use, like, one of these thin... Like the ones glass. That you stand on your yeah. feet with, like, a tiny little thing.
You put the number on, like, a scoreboard deal and hold it in the ring.
It needs to be a big prop.
Yeah.
Never sounded more like Vince. It does need to be a big prop. Like, remember, The Undertaker, a bit of a deep cut, before he had the body bag of, I've just killed you, imagery, he had, like, a little bit of soil. It was quite ominous, but it just didn't register on TV particularly well.
Yeah. He was no Christian Cage with soil in his hand, was he?
No.
Not the first time he's failed.
Christian Cage is better at coffin matches, casket matches, wrestling.
More on Christian Cage later.
Finish your point.
Then The Undertaker.
And I mean, folks, where's the lie?
Hate him. Hate The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Rubbish. So Lesnar comes out, not messing about.
Good day.
With his hands. He gets down there. I'm not getting weighed. Done this before. Go straight after Omos.
Fair point, because he doesn't need to.
No.
There's no weight division.
He flies into him, but he doesn't knock him over. Omos only stumbles and is caught by the turnbuckle. So Lesnar picks... This is the point where I was like, okay, I'll allow those scales. Because Lesnar just picked it up and was like, well, I'm just going to run into him with this. But he ran straight into a big boot from Omos, who knocks him out of the ring. Lesnar's looking at him outside, and he's a bit thrown by all this. Whilst Omos stands there looking like Crash Holly from back in the day, like, come on, get back in. I was like, oh my God, this is incredible chaos.
So a couple of weeks ago, the wrong people thought they were right when Brock and Omos kind of fudged their little over-the-top rope deal and they had to clean
it. Oh, I've seen on the replay.
Well, this is it. They cleaned up in post. I'm just asking questions. The wrong people thought they were right when that interaction sort of fell down a little bit. But this week, the right people have proved those wrong people wronger than ever because Brock Lesnar somehow balancing, backing off and not knowing what to do, but not betraying him like this sort of babyface aura, reminds you that he was always a really good pro wrestler. This was always first. Like, you know, the Jim Ross loved him because of his amateur background and his...
Bill Watts told me once upon a time that he could make a lot of money with an athletic big man.
Just once tell me what NCAA stands for and I'll care about with Jim. Just f***ing once. But, like, he was always good at sports entertainment. He just decided he couldn't be arsed with it anymore. He bought himself a jet and it still didn't make it any easier. And I think he deserves credit for getting this over. It's a hard job.
I'm buzzing about this match.
That's going to rule.
Yeah.
This was a genuinely thrilling glimpse into this match that's going to rule. And we said all along, it's like we said all along, vindication, this match is going to be great. Just a stupid, electrifying, daft, unfussy, fat-free spectacle.
It's going to pick him up.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah. two spots. I mean, the pinfall, obviously, right? But almost being knocked over and almost being picked up. And that's it. That's all it takes.
He's going to fail to pick him up and he's going to make a thing. Can he pick him up?
Yeah.
And then when he picks him up, he's like, I can't believe he picked him up.
Lesnar doing the old guy. holding his back.
I'm genuinely, I'm not being...
I can't believe he picked him up.
I'm not being facetious. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Like, it's... You know, like...
Pick him up!
The German is going to be awesome.
Oh, almost, thinking of German.
Almost folding on his neck is going to be crazy. Like I said, like he's going to fold off a German and like tips of his toes are going to touch top rope because he's such a long-bodied man.
He's probably going to accidentally like catch Lesnar with an elbow as he gets Germans. So Lesnar's going to get busted open. Oh, this is going to be the best match at WrestleMania.
I'm chasing the dragon of the very first time when Paul Heyman said it couldn't be done at Survivor Series 2002. The first time. Brock, it's not even about the delivery of the F5, it's the visual of him in, like, across his back. Yeah? Omos, like, what, he's like, what, like, 7-8 foot tall? Like, the whole length of his body on Brock's shoulders? Come on, man.
It's like you know those, was it Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, when they were really going sports at AEW, and they were building up the Double or Nothing match, and it's like, you know, Kenny Omega's the best athlete in wrestling, he's really taking this seriously. And he's like, in the winter landscape of Manitoba, and he's just got a tree trunk.
Yeah,
it's like that. He's gonna have a tree trunk.
That's too long. How red Brock Lesnar's head's gonna get when he gets picked up for the tree slam as well.
Oh my God.
Probably like, I don't know, kick off almost and do a backflip or something.
Already a pool of sweat. Like it looks like he's getting thrown into a swimming pool when he goes splash when he hits the canvas.
It's gonna be amazing.
Can't wait.
Class.
Rhea Ripley interview. After a video package for Charlotte Flair, and Rhea's like, I know about Charlotte's accomplishments, easy for me to say. I don't need to be reminded every week she's a 14-time champ. I've got to beat Charlotte, be the best and biggest star in this industry, and I need Charlotte's title to do so. It's my destiny against Charlotte's legacy. I plan on winning the SmackDown Women's Championship. Short and sweet, this.
Yes, the dynamic is absolutely knackered. Charlotte Flair cannot be a babyface, and ultimately it's forced Rhea Ripley back into this. She fits awkwardly, which is why I think they lent heavily on Damien Priest being Dominic's running buddy more than Rhea here, because it just wouldn't have sky. It didn't last week when she had the damage control handicap. They've accepted the position they've put themselves in with always catering to Charlotte Flair, it would seem. But good. Like, she still feels like a star. I believe her. I just wish... It'd been Bianca. I wish there was a clear babyface heel dynamic that they'd laid out in the first place. Charlotte Flair makes things difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I love babyface Charlotte Flair. You reminded me about the promo. No. The when she won the title, beating Ronda the other day on the SmackDown review, where she was like, "Give me the f***ing belt." Oh, I'm a babyface. thanks, everyone.
Are you warning me? What I have to say is important. Shut up. Turn heel.
I will not apologise for the behaviour of my father. Well, lots of us do. You should.
Right.
I apologise for buying his frigging 3-disc DVD set and funding one more play and ride. I would freak.
Finn Balor has a pre-taped promo, which was a lot better than Edge's, in my opinion. He says, go to your deck, please. Use your bloody candles. I don't know why that made me laugh. Go on, get your candles out, you loser.
Unlike me, who's going to use post-production Adobe.
Yes.
Yeah, no. To Photoshop a demon on my face.
I don't need to summon.
Sucks.
Just summon my demon. He's always there. You just need to look closely. He didn't need to look that closely because, it was just all over the screen in a second.
Right.
Sucks.
It's rubbish. Stop being serious. Edge and Finn Balor is the best when it's fun rather than it's serious. So I've suddenly got some reservations for Hell in a Cell.
Well, look at this. Acting.
Yeah. I'm worried about it going long. I'm worried about growling. I'm worried about tongue demon. I should be thinking...
Eyes bulging is my fear.
I should be thinking about purple demon, and I saw a red one. The one thing that can save
his
it.
His face before the spear, you can see it. It's an audio podcast.
Finn Balor here said demon versus devil, didn't he?
That's yes. MJF, Edge.
Where's the devil come from?
He's in AEW.
Hell.
Who is currently residing in hell.
Oh.
Christian Cage. Who's booked for WrestleMania? Gangrel. All three of the Brood. Up from hell. That's where Edge has been. He's been to find a friend
Christian,
in hell.
I don't want Christian in the Fed.
Come on, man. Christian versus Randy Orton for SummerSlam. LFG.
Nah. Christian Cage and AEW is amazing.
Yeah, it is really great.
Yeah. I'll tell you what else is really great. This 8-man tag match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Street Profits.
Jim Ross loved it. What did you think of it, Sage?
That was really good.
Street Profits, Ricochet and Braun Strowman against Alpha Academy and the Viking Raiders with Valhalla. The spots in these were ridiculous. Strowman at one point came in, cleared house, and did his pose, because look at the size of him. Ford came in and did his own double bicep pose. And I was like, oh, God, this is great. The ring got cleared at one point, and there was a showdown between the big lads, Ivar, Otis, and Braun, which Ivar goes after Strowman. Otis, I think he hit a pounce in here somewhere. Braun got sent to the outside. Ford comes off the top, and Otis just caught him, getting carried away, and slammed him down. Eric, we go to break off the back of that. When we come back, Eric's got Ford in a chin lock, hands it off to Otis, and Maxine Dupri cannot believe what she's watching as Otis takes his shirt off and gives a little shout out, hitting a running elbow. In the end, Angelo Dawkins gets a hot tag, runs wild. The Strowman Express knocks over everyone at ringside. He gets back in. Ricochet does a swanton off Strowman's shoulders, and then Montez Ford, as we predicted, was like, well, that's nice. What about this, though? A frog splash off the top turnbuckle over Strowman's head, turning him midair, hitting Eric for the pinfall victory.
Oh, my God.
Too right, Matt. This kicked ass.
Again,
go-home stuff. Like, you have made me want to watch the WrestleMania Showcase match, and you have, I think, shown me and told me at the same time that there might be a half-decent tag division off the back of the Usos, Kevin and Sammy. There is, like, assuming that Kevin and Sammy win, but even if they lose, you've shown me four teams that suddenly warrant a title shot, and one of them are presumably going to get it if they win the Showcase. They're going to get some profile off the back of this. The finish was so inspired. The point of the match at which Braun went for the choo-choo, like, it made you believe that they're cooking. For Saturday, they're thinking about, like, they're going to be given, like, 10 minutes or something. Right, well, how much can you fit in? Who's going to take control of the match? Who's going to, like, have that, like, Young Bucks thought of just, right, shut up and listen to me. I'm going to put this together and it's going to roll and we're going to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
Put somebody in charge of it. The best, I don't know out of these who it is, but somebody's got to be.
Probably,
yeah. Like, somebody's got to be in charge of the construction of this, because if it's half as good as this, they've nailed it. The crowd were going, like, apeshit for this.
Yeah.
And it was just nonsense filler to get to WrestleMania. So impressed.
This was so good that it's changed my fantasy booking. Wow. I had an idea of Strowman and Ricochet being the ones to split up after it was teased that the Street Profits and Alpha Academy split up owing to the various goings on and the storylines. I think that if they split up the belts, and there's another Universal or a World Heavyweight or whatever, and there's like just two champions for each brand. Because I originally thought, right, Strowman could turn on Ricochet because he hates flippy guys, and there's anti-flippy guy law, and then he could destroy Ricochet and then go on to be one of Cody's B-level pay-per-view challenges before Gunther.
That's how I had his arc plotted out. Now he could be a contender for the secondary world title because look how over he is. Don't ruin that. The guy is... It really helps that he's operating on the curve of literally every other guy that Triple H rehired. Every other wrestler that Triple H rehired. Strowman is the rule-proving exception to the rule that Triple H is finished and he's boring and he's stupid. Oh my God, Strowman is over as hell, up for it. People really like him. He's worked great tag matches. He had a really kind of refined, well-crafted match with Gunther, where he did the bloody job. He used to have an ego, didn't he? It was always the attitude problem.
Mm-hmm.
There was always, why isn't Strowman the guy? Well, one, they love Roman. And two, there were issues with his attitude, turning up late, thought he was entitled to it. Obviously, he was an idiot during the whole control your narrative debacle. Maybe he's grown up.
Maybe. He's always
going to say something stupid.
He is. When he was released, you kind of thought, right.
I knew he'd be back.
Well, that was it.
You called it.
It was WWE. It was WWE a buster, wasn't it? So maybe that's really helped in a sense that he's had a look at the landscape and thought, right, if I don't shut up and open my ears or think about things a little bit more, I'm out of this industry, possibly. The finish here has set up a fantastic Braun and Ricochet spot at WrestleMania as well, because you just redo it where Ford's thinking, oh, great, they're doing their awesome little Ricochet walking off the shoulder senton. I'll do that again. But he forgets now that they're not on the same team. So Braun just looks down and thinks, no, and just lifts. You know when like a referee is lifted by a wrestler?
Yeah.
He can do that to Montez. I don't think so, mate. He just tosses him out the ring or something. Like they've set up a cool false finish with a cool finish. This was great. Hot crowd for a wrestling match on a WWE show. Like,
this is the hottest they were all night.
Yeah, what a tonic.
Apart from Cody's entrance.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cody, he's backstage with Kathy Kelly for an interview. Asked if he's been put in a vulnerable position with Suzuka. Says, look, we're both undefeated. If he wonders if Reigns and Heyman think he's got a chance tonight or even at WrestleMania, why is it so important that Cody wrestles the Enforcer? Because they know the answer to the question. Cody's earned it. The fire didn't start when he came back. It started a long time before that. Not only has he earned it, he's lived it. Tonight, Solo finds out he's not ready, and at Mania, he defeats Roman Reigns and becomes the undisputed WWE Universal Champion.
Never in a million years, and especially not 2019, did I think I would love Cody this much. He's John Cena and Bret Hart at the same time. He's ready to be the cookie-cutter, cliche-spouting top star who also wants to be the working guy. I'll wrestle every week. I'll be the fighting champion one of these weeks. Cody's going to give a title shot to Positive Ali and it's going to bang a little bit and he's going to win, but it's going to be for the belt. What? I love him. I absolutely love this man. I don't know how they've done it. I do, because it's him. He's an incredible worker.
Yeah.
He's lying to me. The heel turn is going to be just as effective and incredible one of these days, because that's Cody.
Mm.
He's got it all.
Welcome to 2019. Nice of you to join me.
I think imagine some heels or something, like, I don't know, barricaded himself in a room and he just wraps like a hanky or a scarf or something around, he punches his way through the glass just to get him.
Great.
So behind him. Never used to buy that but like so behind him now
because he's in WWE.
Yeah, he's better.
So
you are correct, he's better.
You are so biased.
No, he's on. WWE is the place for him, always said this, because he's a liar. Cody Rhodes is not the grandson of a plumber, nor did he always say he was. Sometimes he did. But like,
sometimes he did.
This is like, you know what he is? He's the face of the market leader, not the challenger brand. That's the difference.
And both. And great. It,
but he wasn't. He blew it. Like, he blew that in AEW. He did. Like, there are, Hangman, you said it, Hangman Page is the main character of AEW.
He's the protagonist.
He's the face of the challenger brand. Cody Rhodes is the face of the market leader.
Cody Rhodes is... Cult leader rhetoric was fundamental to the success of AEW.
It was. And then I think its flaws showed themselves in the way that I don't think they will when he becomes the Cena. Assuming he does.
We'll see. Yes, one too many pretty fancy words. Take it from me in the comment sections. The world's over. They are not necessarily over.
This is where we got the Bianca Belair video package. And then they did something completely surprising to me. The Austin Theory promo in the empty arena, which I thought was really effective. He says,
They show the video. He's in the arena. No one's there, obviously. He says, Cena's wrong. You think you exposed me on the mic. You exposed yourself. He says, you can't see the future in front of your eyes. If you wanted to hit me with a... it's like you wanted to hit Theory with a reality check, telling me, no, that no one believes in me, not even you. But, like, I stand in this arena all alone because there is no difference between this now and a sold-out SoFi Stadium on Saturday. He doesn't do this for the next kid growing up wanting to be the next Theory. He doesn't do this to be the next John Cena. He does it for himself. He had a purpose way before anyone had an opinion about him. It's so sad to know that he would have let John Cena go down the hero, but he had to make this personal. Everyone looks up to Cena, but it'll be so fitting that he's going to be looking up to me, says Theory. That's not a theory, because he's going to make Cena believe in him, make him believe in Austin Theory, the WWE universe that he loves so much. Austin Theory is going to make them stop believing in John Cena.
I thought this was awesome, right? I talked about this in the office this morning. I could say this is like Austin Theory's best promo ever, but like what's 2, 3, 4, and 5? Like, it's maybe the only good, really good promo he's ever cut. This is the closest to a money promo he's ever cut. This was proper extenuate the positives, hide the negatives for me. Like, in those buildings, like, Theory isn't it, right? Austin Theory is not it. And I believe that. And John Cena cut that promo, and then we had 2, 3 weeks, whatever it was, of Theory kind of proving John Cena right. Worst case scenario. Now, it doesn't matter that Theory's not it, because they're trying to make him it. This is how you do it. Like, I don't think he's it, and I don't think a victory over John Cena is going to make him it, but I think at the exact right moment, they've allowed me to buy in with 6 days' notice, and let's see how that goes. Mm. As a cynic to Austin Theory, this might be the peak of his entire career, because I just don't think he'll ever make it, but I will remember this. Really great delivery, logical content, and the perfect place to set it. Honestly, a tremendous bit of business for a guy that I just don't think will ever be what they want him to be.
I don't necessarily disagree with all of that. Delivery was the best in some time. Two problems with this. One, do not want to be reminded of early pandemic era pro wrestling shows ever again in that weird echo.
That's the ceiling fan.
The ceiling fan, that pervasive sense of wrongness, that sense of this does not belong in this context whatsoever. Get out of this context. It's grim, it's bleak, it's dangerous. Antithetical to professional wrestling is a live performance art. So I just got the willies. Oh man, Theory gives me the creeps. Didn't like that. One, it was a bold strategy, Carton, to tell this story through this promo of there's going to be shock and all the rest of it when like the silence reverberates throughout the arena. Because what he was trying to get at here was the contrast between John Cena superstar reaction to what it's going to be at the end. Well, it's going to be not like nothing you've ever heard, except I heard it. Like, moments later, during one of the most heatless matches you'll ever see in your life, with 3 out of 4 women who've been just completely underserved by Triple H. Like, diabolical promotion. Like, at least Vince McMahon at his worst was just stupid. And his idea of a star presentation was just very, very silly. Triple H is so beige. Such a beige guy. That, my God, that women's tag. Dead.
And in terms of Theory, the only time anybody earnestly reacted to eight down down was Vince when he thought it was Austin's.
Yeah,
and he went early.
I tell you what, Clash at the Castle, I popped for eight down down. Because I was...
Oh, yeah.
Caught up in a Fed moment. And, oh, my God, I was like, oh, he's going to cash in.
Triple H spent 3 months absolutely pieing him, didn't he?
Yeah.
At one pay-per-view at a time. How are we going to kill Austin Theory this month? Loving it. It's like 2003 wrestler as a booker.
Yeah, yeah.
Crush him.
Before we get to the tag match.
Austin Theory is a 2003 wrestler. By which I mean just someone plucked from developmental with no personality when they were short stars.
Who was it you referenced the other day? Escobar.
Eric Escobar. Oh my God, what a terrible wrestler.
Forgot about him. Before we get to the Ricky
Ortiz. In his rally towel.
God damn it.
We found out that Stacey Keibler is heading into the 2023 Hall of Fame, which was lovely. And Andy was reading out her comments about this in People magazine, I do believe. Just a lovely, lovely moment for her joining Mysterio, Kaufman, Muta. Is that it so far? Yeah. Should be Victoria, but
not going to be again this year. She's not going in. It really annoys me. But still, massive congratulations to Stacey Keibler. That was followed by Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green versus Candice LeRae.
Skip.
Yep. Sonya Deville and Chelsea are going to WrestleMania. Enough of all that. It's now time for this.
It's short. It's crap. It's wrestling related. The five-star review. Nailed it.
And this week's five-star review is brought to you by Luke Cullen. If you want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling-related for us to review instead of a god-awful, heatless Raw match, you can do so by either subscribing to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts and leaving us a five-star review on there, or leave us a five-star review on Spotify. Screenshot it.
We need the proof.
And then email it to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com, just like Luke has done here. Luke writes, "Hello, Adam and the Dadleys. My name is Luke Cullen, and I'm a huge fan of the podcast. Just coming back from a big St. Paddy's Day weekend here in Ireland, where I saw my first ever wrestling event in the form of over-the-top wrestling's Scrapper Mania. We saw Pat, Killian Dane, Trent Seven, and the best independent wrestlers the country has to offer. I even brought my dad, who isn't really a wrestling fan, but did seem to enjoy it overall, and for sure appreciates why I love this sport. Plus, I had an LA night off with a fellow channel fan."
Oh, great. I like
rules.
That.
That rules.
Check this out, though. "In between, I had two cycling races, which I've done for the past few years now, racing against the best amateurs in the country and even pros at national championships and big multi-day stage races, racing up to 170 kilometers.
Jesus Christ.
This past year has been wild for me, with big highs and lows. But since 2016, you guys and the rest of What Culture have been a big help to me and my mental health. Whether it's out training, working on English essays for college, or on my worst days, you guys have been there for me. Especially when I did an exchange in Stockholm last semester, and I was missing my family. For the five-star review. Pick whatever segment will bring us the most laughs and most perverted comments. Thank you for all you guys do. It means the world to me, Luke." Thank you, Luke.
Good guy.
Thank you very much, Luke. Luke Cullen. Definitely had interactions with him once. Yeah, good guy.
I'm fated to just read corny comments.
Yeah, it's not going to go well, this, is it?
No.
Thanks, Luke.
So I thought to, you know, celebrate the fact she's heading into the Hall of Fame, we could have a Stacey Keibler match from WWE.
Oh, boy.
It's a bikini contest against Tori Wilson. Of course it is. Because, I mean, he put the comments first. He put the wrestling second.
Is he putting this on Luke?
It's combined effort, me and Luke, tag team.
You're giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
You didn't go for Stacey Keibler versus Manami Toyota.
Hamlet, take us back to Tori Wilson of the Alliance taking on Stacey Keibler of the Alliance in a bikini contest in presumably 2001.
Yeah, I don't want to take us back. Tori Wilson was soon to, like, these were both obviously immensely popular in that era because they were chicks that would take their clothes off. But Tori Wilson was about to join Team WWE as a result of a relationship with Tajiri.
Yes.
Who would come from ECW, but he was friends with William Regal. And you know what it's like when you're hanging out with the absolute best. The storylines get a little bit confused. And alignments get completely fucking ruined. So Tajiri's was, and he was in WWE, and thus Tori was going that way as well. And Tori and Stacey had come in as a double act to kind of target Trish and Lita as part of their, everybody fights everybody else. And this is how you're going to split them up.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately for them, all women secretly hate each other when you're a WWE creative writer.
Indeed.
There was a great WWF versus the Alliance match advertised at the end of this clip, which we'll get to in due course. But yes, Jonathan Coachman is in the ring talking about the perks of his job. And he says, "I've been selected to help conduct tonight's bikini contest. But, Sig, this isn't just any bikini contest, because the audience picks the winner." How's that? Not the same as every other bikini contest.
Imagine like a sort of Crockett judging panel.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Arn Anderson.
Terry Funk is pissed off. He's coming in the ring.
So plowed right coach through a table. Yeah. That'd rule.
So they both come out in pink robes, whilst Paul Heyman says, "I love pink, don't you, JR?" And as Stacey Keibler comes out, Paul Heyman is certainly leaning more towards Stacey Keibler, perhaps.
Breadcrumbs, isn't it?
Yeah, signalling where this storyline's going to go. I did like the bit where he said, "The Alliance is proud to present a girl you can take home to your mother, Stacey Keibler." And on the Tron, she's wiggling her bum a bit in Rhino's face, basically. JR says, well, actually, I'll pass it over and JR can say it himself.
"She's got some long legs, long, tall drink of water, as they say in Oklahoma, Paul."
The rest.
And Paul Heyman says, "I've only met one woman as attractive as Stacey Keibler, my mum."
I could believe that.
Heyman says his mum's hot, but not as hot as Stacey. And there's a sign that just says, "Big toe." So I've no idea what that was. Some interesting signs in the crowd here.
It's fairly like PG compared to the comment section, isn't it? That?
But compared to some of the other Attitude Era signs. Jesus Christ. People walked among us.
Still do. Is that a loser getting booted out with a Bailey sign? Great.
Oh, that's allowed, but my handsome face with a mustache with Jonathan Rivera is not on my.
It wasn't allowed.
Phoenix, that wasn't allowed.
Phoenix, Arizona security confiscated Wilborn's face.
Human. Yeah, thank you,
the
Jonathan.
The Bailey sign wasn't allowed as well.
But you got. I understand.
Should not have been allowed.
Yeah.
I just want to reiterate that's the stance of all three.
Indeed, yeah.
Yes.
But my face.
Again. It's like you're revealing yourself to be a pervert and a stalker in the exact same bit of cardboard. Reassess your life, mutant.
So Stacey Keibler takes off her robe. She's in a blue bikini. And Paul Heyman, channeling his Jerry the King lawn, just goes, "Oh, there's the winner," basically. JR says, "She could make me swear off barbecue sauce."
No, she couldn't.
For at least a day or two.
Smother on everything.
Tori Wilson.
Very versatile.
Tori Wilson.
The barbecue sauce has got educator fee.
Sauce it.
Make a lot of money with a big bottle of barbecue sauce. I should know it's my side racket.
Make a lot of money with a barbecue restaurant. Oh, no, it turns out you can't.
Tori Wilson's got a pink bikini on, but Paul Heyman's picked his winner because he says, "I don't like Tori's ankles." And JR says, "I didn't notice she had ankles."
Cooper's looking at her tits. was the implication of that comment? Did you get it? I said I was too busy looking at her tits. Awful. Maybe her ass as well. She turned around.
I'm
Jim Ross.
I showed Phil Chambers.
And you're not.
Showed Phil Chambers this bit because the bit where they're going like, "Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Stacey Keibler, yay, Tori Wilson, yay," there's a bit where a guy on the front row is like leaning over the barricade with his little disposable camera going, "Click, another click, a click again." I was just like, oh, come on. So Tori wins. Stacey jumps her. At one point, I thought when she jumps her and she falls, I rewound it. Because she falls onto the mat, and I don't know what they'd been doing earlier on in the night, but it's covered in blood.
Yeah, blood everywhere, yeah.
It's because I thought when she knocked her down, she'd, like, just smashed her face in or whatever. But it was the different time, wasn't it? So Stacey throws and chokes her with the robe. Coach tries to break it up and gets slapped. Tajiri chases Stacey off. Paul Heyman says, "Not only did Stacey look better in a bikini than Tori, she beat her up too. Is she gorgeous or what?" And the clip ends with them going, anyway, next up, Dudley Boyz and Nick Patrick versus The Rock, Chris Jericho and Mike Chioda.
I mean, like, there were many matches that were an example of how you fundamentally blew the biggest money angle of a generation. But those six people set to logos.
It's basically how
he did it. Bad logo, good logo, see you in the main event. Like that. I don't imagine there's any comment sections here, because that left me with not a single thing to say about it.
No.
As a piece of television.
Oh, nearly.
It's time to play the game! Time to play the game!
Where's she at WrestleMania?
Don't know.
Well.
Guess
travesty.
Guess what I found in the comment section?
Guess the perverted comment.
Oh, wish I was the coach. He got the best view.
I wish I was the robe.
Really close, both of you. First comment from Miser Jones. When I die, I want to be reincarnated as the middle rope.
Not prepared to give this life.
Sure that guy has been at it on
another one. Yeah,
yeah. I'm sure I've read that exact comment.
Or at least he's not the only person who wants to be the middle rope. So they'd have to divvy up. So you'd be on two sides of the ring.
Yeah, but what if you're not at the one facing the entrance? What if you're not? What if you're facing the hard cam?
Son of a bitch!
And SmackDown's ropes were like all blue. So what if you get put at the bottom of the top by accident? Oh, bloody hell!
So if you're on the one facing the hard cam, you don't get Stacey Keebler's
derriere.
Yeah. You do get the soul of Matt Hardy's foot where he goes, uh-huh, yeah!
Falls out of the ring.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
I could a tornado.
That's how he fell out the ring. It wasn't Justin Gabriel. It was somebody reincarnated as the middle rope.
Get off me, man.
Didn't like him. Ugh. So if you believe in reincarnation, you believe in the idea that you come back based on how well you behaved in one version of your life. Does this person, have they lived a good or a bad life to come back as a rope?
Got what he wanted.
So he's lived a good life and he's been rewarded with...
That's he spent his entire life in a state of monk-like...
And it turns out, in a twist, reincarnation is real.
Yes.
And he's used that to become an inanimate object.
He's obviously done well. That's what he wants. I don't want to go to hell.
No.
I don't know there's any.
Once again, these comments do not reflect the views of myself, the Dadly Boys, anyone at What Culture Wrestling, or, of course, Luke, who suggested this trudge through filth. Gerald, funny part about this is, Stacey should have won. She was fantastic, and her bikini was more revealing, IMO.
I did
4 months ago, that he's been stewing on this for 22 years.
One and a quarter star.
He's measured the flesh to cloth ratio. Well, you could see more of it, so that's automatically better.
The cage match complete. They're still loading the archives.
Yeah,
so
Sige, sorry to put you on the spot here.
No, that's fine.
But there's a comment here from Daniel, and I think it's completely thrown over my head, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm 25 now, writes Daniel, and I just looked her up on a whim. Now, as a grown man, I can, all caps, fully appreciate all she had to offer.
I think what he's saying is that when he was younger and watched wrestling, he might not have entered the bodily change known as pubescence at this point. And at the time, he was just like, oh, you know, yeah. People like this, I can't fully appreciate it. But the older he gets, now that he's discovered... you know, sexual nature. He's decided to jack it all over Stacey Keebler in her ass.
Well, whilst we're on the topic, I don't know if this person works in a lab or what. They're some sort of scientist.
Yeah.
Because Michael writes, dropped a lot of DNA to her Maxim pics back in the day. Anything with that?
I think it means like, just cum.
Oh, I thought he was just like careless with a test tube.
No, he's talking about his cum. Ah. His DNA's...
Good job you're here. I don't have a bloody clue.
I see. Bloody useless you are. What am I going to do with you?
Josh writes, I love the bit when they try and be like, I'm horny, but I'm a good guy. She was my favourite, writes Josh, for all those sinful reasons, but especially her humanity.
All those sinful reasons it corrupts my cack.
Such an apologetic tone. Best win it back round. That's a delete key. You don't need to leave a comment at all.
I watched this exact thing for Secret Banter.
Yeah.
I mean, I read the comments for this thing for Secret Banter. I didn't actually watch the video.
It's sinful that sprung to mind.
Yes.
Hey, 4 years ago.
And the reincarnation is the middle rope. It's got a very religious...
Have we completed the YouTube comment section? Is that what it is?
So. Oh God, we're worse than a lot of that.
The real Blade, not Butcher's tag partner. Those legs should have their own Hall of Fame induction.
Just cut her in half.
And Rey Mysterio, Andy Kaufman, and Stacey Keebler's legs.
Like, gets like, you know, the Andre handprints or something, or those, like, those statues
that's
they make.
That's what they'll do after, because, you know, it's like they're running out of everyone.
Stacey's legs.
Stacey's legs. So we've got Stacey Keebler's in there, but just, and then just the legs go in.
Stacey's legs.
We're in the Hall of Fame. Right, Aaron, 3 months ago. Right. Turning over a new leaf, it's 2023. Right. The joke here is not the fact he's written Paul Henry instead of Paul Heyman. The joke here is it's the internet, Aaron. Anyway, maybe he's just been, you know, Paul, you know how good a salesman Paul Heyman is, right, and what you were saying earlier on about Stacey Keebler and the only person who compares to him. I need to find out what Paul Henry's mother's name is so I can search her on the internet. Let's see what this Mrs. Heyman's all about then.
I love that he wants to do something so weird and he's still in the hiding of nowhere because he's got the name wrong.
And,
so he's finally tracked down a Mrs. Henry in New York.
Well, wait there.
That must
wait,
be her.
Wait there. I'm going to Google Paul Henry's mother and see what comes up.
Henry's mom.
Got it going on.
Also, I need another. There's another comment I need Sidious help with.
Okay, shall I Google Paul Henry?
Well, no, it's very, quick, very, very quick. Paul Henry's mother is Olive Mary Christine.
There we go.
She died in 2016.
Oh, Aaron's going to be gutted when he finds out.
Oh yeah. Hope he's not a listener. We spoiled it for him.
Michael.
Right. But it's Michael Wright.
Michael Wright.
It's funny, he's popping already.
Just explain this one to me, Sid, because I'm confused. And I'm concerned about this person, to be perfectly honest. Michael Wright, this could be on a loop for a week, and I'd probably get fired for my job for not coming in. What's he?
I've read these comments before. I'm serious. It's on Secret Banter. What he's saying is that... So read the comment again, just to clarify.
This could be on a loop for a week, and I'd probably get fired from my job for not coming in.
Because he's doing a different kind of coming in to, like, a sock and tissue.
Because
he's going to basically spend an entire week just jacking it.
Got it.
Penile refractory period. No. Jacking it, rest, penile refractory period, jacket. Okay? Rest, jacket. Rest, jacket. Rest jacket. I'm assuming he's doing nothing else.
Yeah.
He can't get ready for work. He's got nowhere else to go. It's either work or jacket. He's got a choice. He's going to spend a week jacket. He'll have no cock left by the end of it, let alone a job.
Final few comments.
No skin on it anymore, let alone a job. That's the least of his worries.
Speaking of worries.
He can go to work and then go home and jacket. But now he's going to have no job and no cock. So basically, everything in moderation. Everything in moderation, otherwise you're in trouble.
I love the bigger picture of these lives of these comment sections. Like, their lives cannot, like, they cannot juggle the basics for jacking it. Like, it's just, there's nothing. Need to go food shopping, need to go to work, need to see my family. Jacking it. I got a full diary of jacking it.
I'm just going
to
keep jacking it. And then, you know, jacking it. Monday morning, jacking it. Monday afternoon, jacking it. Monday night, jacking it. On it goes. Thursday afternoon, pray to God. Can I be the ice cream that she licked in a SummerSlam advert? Right, okay, I'm stopping jacking it now. I'm about to live my new life as an ice cream.
Just going through the iPhone calendar. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it. Battle of the Boyne. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it. No wonder how anybody else gets anything done.
Final couple of comments here. Cheese Monkey writes, oh, I loved her back in her WCW days. I nearly went blind spanking it to Miss Hancock. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it. Eye appointment. Jacking it.
Thunder. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it. Nitro.
Sitch, I have a question for you. We know her to be called Stacey Keebler. She's going into the Hall of Fame as Stacey Keebler. But in WCW, they called her Miss Hancock. Well, that's, we know that not to be a real name. Why might they have landed on that as a name?
Because if you see Miss, you'll put your hand on your cock.
Ah.
That makes sense now.
And did she must have hated weaponry because she was always feuding with Major Guns. And I assume that name is to do with weaponry, right?
No. The talk, like, guns is a tits.
Oh.
And they were so immense in size that they weren't minor tits.
Yeah.
They were major tits, Major Guns.
Now, she hung out with General Rection. I think, what was it? Hugh, I think, was his first
name. Yeah, that's right.
His middle name was Gordon, I think. Like, Hugh Gordon Rection. Like, that's a...
It's a weird name, that.
It's a weird name, isn't it? But they were just friends, right?
Yeah, but this one didn't work because it's meant to be a play on words and huge erection. Like, your cock being full of blood when you get aroused. But the problem is that Bill DeMott has got the biggest needle dick energy of any human being who's ever lived.
Final comment comes from Jikal here. Once again, they do not reflect the views of myself, Daddy Boys, anyone at What Culture Wrestling, or Luke. But thank you for suggesting this, Luke, because me and Phil have been laughing about it all morning. Jikal writes, back in 03. Come on, Adam. Back in 03, I worked with a guy that proclaimed he'd eat the corn out of her shit in front of our entire factory. Here's to you, Ron.
Oh, God. Excuse me, can I have everyone's attention, please?
All right, Ron. You're not being very busy, do you? Can't help it now. Your workload's dropped somewhat. Yeah, I got some of these to get off my chest.
Wow. Somewhere there's a Ron being like, yeah, I'm so glad the internet didn't exist when we used to talk on the factory floor. Just been thrown under the bus.
Anything, any plans for the weekend, Ron?
I'd take an American as well. I'd eat the corn out of her sh**. Is that what you like, that ass?
Oh, God.
It's a main event time.
Outlaw Ron ass.
Back to Monday Night Raw. Paul Heyman's getting interviewed by Kathy Kelly. He's saying Solo's not here to compete. I'll be honest. He's here to weaken Cody Rhodes. Reigns is ready to stoop to any depths to get an advantage and remain the tribal chief. That's the difference between Reigns and Rhodes. He came to his wife, man, said he was ready. Stop being the big dog and become the tribal chief. But we've known this Rhodes his entire life. The puppy dog eyes looking across at Reigns. Rhodes has never been ready. He's never been ready to fill the shoes of his father, to be the man of this generation. And he's not ready to defeat Roman Reigns this Sunday. He needs to be ready for the beating tonight and then come Mania. He's losing. But then, he implores Reigns, be ready for the greatest moments of your entire existence. When in the glory of your own defeat, when you've disappointed the universe, be ready to acknowledge Roman Reigns.
Yet another fantastic Paul Henry promo in a series of them, basically. Really effective promotion of the last Cody and Roman bit on SmackDown, mm-hmm. and of course the match at WrestleMania. But good foreshadowing for the main event as well, because him talking about how Roman's just going to dump all the emotional baggage on him and he's going to get in his head and talk to him and all that. Roman is now literally telling while Cody is showing all the time. Matches, 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 and Roman's just trying to talk this good game and trying to get it. Tremendous. This match is awesome.
It's awesome.
Massive, isn't it? Like,
from one of the best promos in the business to the best, Dominic Mysterio comes out.
Jesus, there's so much left.
Alongside Damian Priest, but this is worth it. He's got the mic. He says, he opens with, I can't believe Rey Mysterio is such a bloody lowlife. He hits his own son.
Great.
Amazing.
That's like great Jericho tier, that.
Yeah. He says, I'm going to humiliate this deadbeat dad at WrestleMania. Everyone's going to find out what a failure of a father he is. And he shows the replay again. He's like, can you believe that? He speaks angrily in Spanish. What kind of father? It's his own son. What kind of mother sits there and does nothing? I think he also included the clip where he tells her to shut up, Mom, as well, which just added to it. And he said, actually, I wish I'd told my mum to shut up a long time ago. And he said, I've never said this out loud, Daddy, but I wish Eddie was my real father. Oh, he said he wished that Ray never existed. Their entire family was a disgrace, the Mysterio name. But that name's going to be his after WrestleMania.
Absolutely no notes on this entire feud. Not a single one. And I see Triple H still hold these notions that he can, you know, book women's wrestling and just give them 10 minutes and go and kick ass. No, that's not what WWE fans want you to do.
It's not what you're good at. You're not booking Evolve Triple H. This is WWE. This is WWE. It's somewhere in my darkened husk. I can still really like it when it's this. This knows what it is. This is quintessentially WWE bollocks, and I think it's fantastic. I wish it was all like this.
And one of the few DQs I allowed, because it's just Dominic. Like, they had a back and forth between Priest and Ray, and, like, Ray's going for 619 and blah, 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 and Priest fights back. And then at one point, Dom just goes, I've had enough of this. I want to fight my dad. And then just got in the ring and attacked him. And I was like, I don't really mind that going to a DQ, to be honest.
I didn't. The match was nout, realistically, but I'm the same. I think sometimes it's okay to... WWE have bastardised it. We say this all the time, but it's okay to do a DQ if the characters make sense, and Dominic does. The promo here was tremendous. Like, again, it's gone from... Like, there is an ironic...
Didn't stumble on his words. No. It's a tremendous promo.
Well, there's still an ironic enjoyment to Dominic.
Yeah.
There is still an ironic enjoyment to Dominic. But to the point about Triple H booking this, they're still showing loads of thought. They had him growing out that mullet for months before the turn.
Kids just like it, man.
Well,
I've
yeah.
I've told you this. We are 37. If you ever go out and we don't do it that often, kids wear mullets. They're in. We're old.
So it's not it's not just Eddie's me dad.
There's a bit of it. But seriously, kids just, they're fashionable.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
It makes us sick.
But there was a Dominic...
I would have liked a mullet.
Yeah.
Like back in the day.
But a big, like a Sean early 90s one. Loads at the front and on top, like, as well as the long at the back, or like a Dominic one, like a ratty mullet.
Like the really hick mullets.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Dominic...
Was it called Business on Top, Party in the Back or something?
I'd love the mullet, but who has a mullet back then?
Who has a mullet, really?
Somebody, a few other people would be brave. I was like, I can catch that trend.
I think I accidentally got a mullet in third year at university, but that's because I was like, oh, bloody hell, uni's going to finish soon. I better not waste any money on haircuts.
It's more of it.
Yeah.
No, Dominic was great. I'm getting both.
It's terrible.
I'm getting the ironic enjoyment and the genuine enjoyment, because I think the story's been so, like, so well taught. For as silly and as pantomime as it is, the order of events is bang right. The killer line about being a deadbeat dad. And Dominic is so stupid that now, when he calls Rey Mysterio a failure, he doesn't realise that's a cell phone.
Yeah.
How are you a failure as a father? If your kid's an arsehole. Yeah, Dominic's a massive arsehole. So it's your fault, Dominic, that your dad's a failure.
I can't believe, if you'd have taken a time machine last year and said, three big matches that you're going to look forward to at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes for all the belts. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos for all the tag belts. And Rey Mysterio fighting his son. It's ridiculous that that's the bronze medal of my most anticipated WrestleMania matches. But how do they do the light?
How do they do it?
How do they do it? I just still don't understand.
Look when you're there. Like, see if you can spot the trick. Ooh. Especially in SoFi.
What's this?
The purple, like, you know,
the light when they do the
purple shadowy thing. It's like a reverse shadow, isn't it? They're in darkness, but the shadows are light. Even though they're creatures of the night, because they exist on the other side.
Main event time.
They plugged the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and
Johnny Gargano is such a dork.
He's still a guy for WrestleMania. He's more
excited. It's going to be crazy fun, guys.
He's more excited than me. I'm pretty goddamn jacked for it, but not as jacked as Johnny Gargano.
Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson were there. Rick. Sorry.
Boogs! They're not the same bass that you usually do it again.
Rick. Boogs!
There we go.
Bang!
Finally, at last.
Elias are excited, but Elias is like, I'm a lock to win it. And he turns around and there's bloody mass murderer. And there's Bronson Reed, and there's the bloke who's probably going to win it in Bobby Lashley.
He's a lock. Get it?
Yeah.
Not bad.
I don't think he wins it, by the way.
Wins it.
I think LA Knight screws him out of it, and that's your last minute WrestleMania match for the pair of them.
Oh my God.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn cut a promo.
It's nice.
Talking about the fact that they're getting their tag team title match in Los Angeles. They obviously, people know about their history in Montreal, but they got their big break in LA. Of course, it's the biggest tag team title match of all time. Cedar. You should...
Heard of it, Paul? Yes, obviously, blatantly.
Yes. Yeah, Zayn says the biggest tag team title match of all time. Owens says he's right. I'm like, say it's the main event then. But the Owens says the Usos are the best team in WWE up until a week ago. Now, Owens and Zayn are going to show the world what they can do in a city where they got their break. They're going to achieve the biggest thing they can achieve together, and that's winning the undisputed tag titles at WrestleMania.
They were saying, and the commentator said it, and they said it's happening, it's stupendous, it's whatever, WWE. The biggest tag team title match of all time. Internally, they still don't know what's going to go on last day on that night one,
nope.
And they're hedging their bets, and it's weird. And I think that, like, I've kind of made my peace, but I know a bunch of people that haven't.
Yeah, there's a way that you do it where you put the tag title match opening night two, and then I genuinely think for, like, if people are just going to one night, they should get one bit of the Bloodline saga for each night if they're going to do it like that. But,
well, it's the wrong call. Like, WrestleMania card stuff can still be a meritocracy when so little in WWE is. And getting that main event night one now is a main event. It's not just night two is the real quiz. Like, main event, they've done quite a good job of night one feeling like just as big a deal, at least if you're last. And I don't know. I don't know if they know yet. Interesting.
Before the main event, there was a fun little squash match, basically. Perfect opponent for Gunther. A surprise appearance from him on Monday Night Raw. And he just handed Dolph Ziggler his arse, basically. He blocked a super kick, dropped Ziggler with a chop. Ziggler did manage to hit a Famasser for a two count, but he goes for a Stinger Splash and just gets knocked out of the air with a big chop. Powerbomb, Last Symphony, 1-2-3. Gunther gets on the mic, says it's a disgrace. He has to defend the IC title in a triple threat. But he says to Sheamus and Drew, this is what's going to happen to you at WrestleMania.
This is Scott Hamflett's bloody basic plotting love of it all over it.
Just cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Not least because Gunther's an underrated talker.
He is.
I think he's like, I believe him completely. Not just because he's so handsome. And you know when this is where, like, you've got to, rarely do I say this because he's made a ton of money and he's lived a pretty great life, one would assume. But this is where, like, you've really got to feel sorry for Dolph Ziggler. Because you know when I knew that he was wrestling on Raw? When this match started. Because they previewed this with Gunther in action.
Yeah.
That's... How
do you know what that is?
Show him some respect.
It's like Peter Avalon now.
People aren't going to turn off. Look at Gunther versus Dolph Ziggler. Ugh.
NXT champion this time last year.
He was, yeah. That's it. And it's like, good enough for that, wasn't it? Paul.
What?
Couldn't have to come and salvage your dead brand.
If it's any consolation, he doesn't care either.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
Maybe he just needs to think more positively.
Yeah. I'll keep working on the stand.
Main event time.
Yes, Cody Rhodes versus...
Oh, no. Just watched a bit get born.
Is that when he's been kidnapped?
Rhodes is in control early on. Sokoa fights back, hits a Samoan drop. So Rhodes hoys him into the steel steps and does the old classic wrap your leg around, ring burst. Rhodes tries for a disaster kick. Sokoa catches them, hits a suplex. Obviously, this is undefeated versus undefeated. Rhodes comes back with punches, but as he goes for a suicide dive, Sokoa catches him and hoys him into the announce table and hits a uranage onto it as we go to a break. When we come back, Sokoa's still in control. Rhodes fights back, though. Forearm, power slam, disaster kick, Cody cutter, crossroads. 1-2. Solo puts his foot on the bottom rope. Rhodes goes for a moonsault, but he gets distracted by Paul Heyman. Solo Sokoa moves. He sets up the Samoan spike, but Cody hits him with another Cody cutter. Out come the Usos. That distraction allows Solo Sokoa to hit a super kick and the spinning Solo for a nice two count. But out comes Zayn and Owens to attack the Usos, and they fight off. Sokoa blocks the Cody cutter. Rhodes ducks the Samoan spike. Crossroads, 1-2-3. Cody Rhodes ends Solo's undefeated streak, and he is rolling into WrestleMania.
Yeah, I would have been just as happy with the other result, but I really liked what I got here. Power's back because they've shown a big match, and they've made you want it a bit, and they've put it on a massive Raw. With, like, I think the old days of should have saved this for a pay-per-view, that's kind of over now. Like, you want to build momentum and you want to... I don't know how many tickets this match...
You want to build momentum. Hang on. You are so bad.
Wait a second. I don't know how many tickets this match specifically sold, but this is like as good as a full house. I don't imagine it drew any more people to this Raw. They were already going to come. But it was WrestleMania Raw and you've got this big match with high stakes featuring one of the main eventers and somebody that's never lost. Well, both of them never lost, but you know what I mean? Like, massive high stakes main event. You've delivered a finish. It's huge. When I'm saying build momentum, what I mean is you're trying to reinstall the faith of people like me.
I was ready for the DQ shenanigans,
That want to buy in and not be made a fool of for the millionth time, basically. And this was that. Like, a really committed bit of booking to Cody Rhodes. He was proven right in the narrative by assembling this group with Kevin and Sammy, because there are the Usos to do what always happens in the Roman matches, to do it in a solo match, and there his friends are because he realized he needed friends. Solo's the only one in the Bloodline that hasn't got a title. His title was never being beaten, and that title has been lost ahead of some tag titles being lost, ahead of some world titles being lost, and Cody Rhodes, the babyface, thinking logically about how he's going to do this thing, saying he's going to do it, and doing it. So this was far from like a wasted loss. I felt like it was a memorable way for Solo Street to end. And how many undefeated streaks have we seen wrestling companies struggle to get to the end of? This was a really effective use of it in a way that hasn't, in any way for me at least, tarnished Solo post-WrestleMania. Because if anything, now he can look at the Bloodline and be like, I don't think I do need you. I lost, but like, look, you were supposed to be there for me. Roman, you weren't even in the building, and the Usos were counted by those two guys. I loved the presentation of this, and the match was great, and it's a continuation of what they're doing with Cody.
And I forgot to mention earlier, there was a brilliant Goodfellas parody. The one and the only good Hollywood trailers.
Yeah. Kind of the whole thing existed this year for that, didn't it?
Mm.
I didn't think this was much, to be honest with you. But on the preview yesterday, I lobbied for Sokoa to maybe win through nefarious means, as a big gut punch of, Jesus, is Cody actually going to do it? And the idea that you set up WrestleMania Backlash with Cody versus Solo. And I'm glad they didn't, because I don't think Solo's it. I do not think he's it. This did not feel as big as I expected it to feel. It didn't feel like ultra drama of the most palpable order in the building of these two heavyweights having this gunslinging match where everything's on the line, the two most invincible guys. Just felt like another Raw match to me. Genuinely felt like another Raw match to me. I don't think Solo is it. And I think if he's just going to be a henchman, you know, the jury's out, but if he's just going to be a henchman, I have to agree with Hamlet. Perfect time to have him lose, because he has to lose the thing that he holds dearest, this aura, this undefeated streak, in line with the Bloodline, are then going to lose everything. And then that's where the drama is after WrestleMania. But I don't think he's it. I don't think this match felt anywhere near as big, or frankly wasn't as good or exciting or as heated as I expected it to be.
I sort of regressed back to being a child watching this match. I was like, come on, the good guy. And then he's setting up the Samoan Spike and ducked it and hit his finish. I was like, yeah, he's rolling into WrestleMania. So it achieved its purpose here, and I was glad that Cody won. I think it's just, you know, old school. Don't make him look weak at all on the road to WrestleMania, especially not this week in particular.
It's Vince McMahon was a disgusting, cretinous old pervert, chapter 300, because what Solo, like Sidgwick, obviously, you know, to the point of Solo, whether or not you think that or not, what he had was something that had been protected, and they showed you that you can lose that and it be okay.
Mm.
And this is that, like generations, decades of fans have never seen that unless they started watching AEW in 2019.
Yeah.
And this is like, this was best practice stuff, and you want to see more of it. You want this to be like a statement of intent.
Let us know your thoughts on the Raw before WrestleMania, though, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamlet at
Michael Hamlet.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll be looking ahead to the go-home episode of NXT, well, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. A little bit later on today. And of course, we'll have Simon Miller with his ups and downs from this Monday Night Raw coming out as a podcast a little bit later on as well. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling and leave us a 5-star review, just like Luke Cullen did. Thank you for that, Luke. You can either do it on Apple Podcasts or do it on Spotify. Screenshot it.
We need the proof.
And then, like Luke did, email it to me, adam.wilborn at whatculture.com. But for now, it's been the Raw Review. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.